This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Lynn Mark. Today on The Breakfast Grill, we're taking a look at Equities Tracker. Now, Equities Tracker is a nearly 20-year-old company. They've been operating in the equity research and investment training space for some time now. And they've also just listed on Bursa Malaysia's Leap Market on March 7th. Now, I have with me in studios today, Alvin Vong, the CEO of Equities Tracker. Thank you for coming on the show and congratulations on your listing.
Thank you, Lynn. Thanks for having us.
So your family has been in this business for over 40 years. What drove the decision to list at this point?
I think when we decided to list, one of the things we were looking at was, number one, to increase our profiling. Mm. And being in this current business that we are in, which is our data platform and also our education business. In terms of the education business, just the business by itself has fairly low barriers to entry, teaching in a sense. So when we decided to list, one of the main things that we wanted to do was profile ourselves better. It wasn't really just fundraising for fundraising purposes. As you can see, it was in terms of the cost of listing versus vis-a-vis what we raised, the amount is fairly large. Yeah. So one of the reasons we wanted to list was to improve our profiling. And this was something that my late father, our late founder, we actually talked about this before he passed away about 3 years ago, that one of the things that came up in the news was that Bursa was going to come up with a platform to list SMEs.
Yes. Yeah,
and we saw it was a good opportunity to hop on because that was launched in 2017. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that, of course, the cost of listing was quite high compared to the amount you were actually looking to raise, which is about 7 million ringgit. Yeah. And so what else were you planning to use your listing proceeds for?
So of the 7.14 million that we did raise, the largest chunk actually goes into our data and technology backend, which is about 4 million there. 500,000 was actually earmarked for our digital advertising plans. Another 1 million was actually earmarked for expansion of our new premises, our new training premises in KL and in Penang. And lastly, the other 1 million was actually meant for the use of funds to for the listing exercise, and the rest was 640,000 was for working capital.
Now you mentioned your new training premises. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah. So where we are at, we're actually in like a 20-year-old plus building. And one of the things that it's a little bit peculiar for our business is that we're not exactly an office space. Mm-hmm. We're an office / retail space. But we're not retail to the point where shopping mall kind of retail space because our clients do come into our training space to see what we have. And so one of the things that we needed to do was actually to refresh the look and to give ourselves, along with the better profiling, a better image and a more comfortable venue for our training that we do.
So you're looking to refresh your existing premises. Are you looking to expand it to new ones as well?
So one of the things that we plan to do is actually move from our existing location to a new building. That's one of the plans, both in KL and in Penang, and to actually refurbish a newer, office / retail space.
But what is going to make your product offering different? Because the education space, you mentioned it's got low barriers for entry, and there are a lot of other competitors in the market. StashAway, for example, also offers an investment training aspect. So why should people choose to come to Equities Tracker versus the other players in the market?
I think that's a really really good question. So if we look at our history of why we started education, So if you look at our history of our company, we started as a data provider and data aggregator.
Mm-hmm.
So which meant that we covered all listed companies on Bursa Malaysia, now the SGX, and also the Australian Stock Exchange, the ASX. What we found was that, so my dad was a very avid stock market hobbyist, right? So this was his big hobby. And one of the things that he did often was actually he was invited to give talks. Mm. So there was actually one session that he always told us about, especially during dinner, was that he was actually asked to give a talk at an event, you know, attended by 500 people. And at that point, I believe the market, stock market just crashed. And there was one very senior gentleman that came up to him and said, you know, Mr. Vong, can you help me? You know, I've lost all my savings and EPF, you know, I'm retired. You know, what can I do? And that was really sort of an awakening moment for him. He realized that the average person on the street who does investments actually, you know, we're just sort of groping in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And what we started as a result was not just providing information, but when we started providing information to the public, one of the feedback that we got was that the average retail person did not know how to use the data that we produce. So for us, education was a by-the-way thing, you know, it was responding to our clients' needs. Whereas if we look at a lot of the providers out there today, they provide education purely just to make money. And that's their business model. So how we differentiate ourselves is that our decisions are what we call data-driven investment decisions, right? So we actually not only teach them the techniques, but also give them a tool that they can go and learn how to fish themselves.
Okay. Yeah. But the other thing about Equities Tracker as a company is that you are providing this data and you are teaching people how to use it.
Yeah.
But compared to, for example, the example I gave earlier was Stashaway. Stashaway also is an investing platform. You can invest your money directly through Stashaway.
Yeah.
And that is something that you don't so far do. Why not?
So Stashaway is actually a fund management company.
Mm-hmm.
We are not a fund management company right now. We're an education and data provider.
And is this something that you could possibly be looking into? Because right now you've got the information and you're teaching people how to use that information, but they still have to go elsewhere in order to invest their money. So that seems like a little bit of a disconnect there.
Yeah. So right now, one of the things that the markets that we are sort of serve are basically DIY, people who want to do it themselves. Or someone that needs help and, you know, we sort of guide them along the way. Right now, we're not in the fund management business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we are open to, you know, looking at several segments that we can potentially complement the current business. Yeah.
Now, another aspect of the competition risk is that you run the risk of losing trainers and materials to other companies. Now, how do you manage that?
Yeah, I think this is quite pertinent in not just our business. I think in any training business, in particular schools as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once a teacher gets good enough, then they become valuable and they start moving around. I think there's not a lot that you know, we can't really tie people down per se.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can do is keep Equities Tracker remain relevant and attractive to retain talent like this. Yeah, talent that we train.
And how are you going to do that?
So so one of the things that we did we got listed was that we wanted a public profile. But
mm-hmm.
part of the reason is that we are now open to also. Because a lot of my current team members actually own shares in a company as well, but they can't monetize it, right? So one of the ways the listing actually does help us is to allow us to not only give them shares, but they can also monetize it as well. Yeah, and I think just looking at it, although anyone can start a training business, I think one of the biggest challenges is not just the training itself. There's a lot of marketing involved. There's also customer service involved. There's also back-end systems involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of that's sort of in the background that you won't see in a training business. But you know, it's not easy to do that part.
And speaking of back-end systems, 4 million ringgit out of your IPO proceeds was earmarked for development of your existing IT infrastructure and backup systems. And that's quite a lot of money. That's more than half of your listing proceeds and nearly equivalent to your revenue for FY18. What exactly are you going to be doing that requires 4 million ringgit?
You see, when it comes to technology, actually, 4 million is actually quite small.
Mm-hmm.
An app can easily today cost you 4 million bucks, very easily. Of course, because talent for IT is not cheap. And when we talk about talent, you know, talent for technology people are now global. But one of the ways that we actually try to keep costs low is how we design the tech that we use. So we use a lot of open source stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's really in the design that helps us get further than you know, if I would have done it traditional method. But some of the money that's been earmarked is that if you look at the database that we've collected, it's over 40 years old. And when we first built it 40 years ago, the environment was very different than it is today, right? Today, everything is almost cloud native.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the projects that we earmarked is to actually redo or refresh and completely upgrade our backend systems so that we can support even more countries on that platform. So one of the initiatives is to go completely cloud on our backend, yeah. So that requires rewriting quite a fair bit of code, because we plan to also cover other listed exchanges as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been speaking to Alvin Vong, CEO of Equities Tracker. After this, we'll take a look at the company's revenue segments. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Alvin Vong, CEO of Equities Tracker, which is an equities research and investment training platform. It's just listed on Bursa Malaysia's Leap Market on March 7th, and its share price was last at 18 cents, so slightly higher than your debut of 17 cents. Now, just taking a look at some of your numbers, you've increased the revenue segment of your corporate training services in 2018. Why is that? Was that a particular effort?
Actually, when we looked at our corporate training,
mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we do in our part of our education is actually we do research on companies. So typically, we also interview CEOs for companies that we think are good. And what we do is we actually invite them to our platform to speak to some of our students.
I see.
And I guess when we speak to them, we sort of build a relationship and they get curious, what do you guys do? And it's sort of, you say, why don't you, you know, do training for us? And that's one of the things that we did. But actually, the other part of our corporate training was, I would say, corporate/retail. So one of the things that we did last year, we actually worked with the Stock Exchange, mm-hmm. Bursa Malaysia, to provide education to their retail segment.
I see.
So although they are corporate, but the end user is still retail.
Okay, so is Bursa Malaysia the reason for the difference in your retail segment? Because the corporate investment training services went from 3.5% to 37-odd% between 2017 and 2018. That's a significant jump.
Yes.
Was Bursa the reason for that, or was it something
Bursa
else?
Bursa was part of the reason.
So are you still looking to grow this segment further?
Yes, we are quite bullish on this sector. Mm-hmm. For education, because if you look at our IM, I think in 2017 we actually got our Human Resource Development Fund accreditation. So basically, we can talk to any company that actually contributes to this fund, mm-hmm. And actually can provide training for them as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of a revenue segmentation are you targeting between your equity investment research platform and your investment training services platform? What kind of a breakdown are you trying to aim for?
So one of the things about our business, mm-hmm. Is that it's highly complementary. So when we run education courses, so what happens also, our our business for the data side also grows, because part of our education, actually, we teach them how to use that data.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very complementary. But of course, the ticket item in terms of education is higher. Therefore, it looks bigger on the revenue segment. We're actually looking to diversify a little bit. So, you know, we want to do like a 50-50 in terms of our education with corporate and retail. That's something that we want to look at. So 50 retail, 50 corporate. And as, of course, our data segment, mm-hmm. also about 50-50 as well.
And when do you hope to achieve this by?
We know, because business is tricky, right? You know, you can't really predict, you know, yes, I'm going to do this. But we're moving in tandem. We're trying our best. So we're doing marketing for our retail segment. We're also doing retail marketing for our corporate segment. It depends on demand, right?
Okay.
It's a bit tricky. But we don't drive ourselves so much on so much the segments itself. We want to make sure that we actually deliver the best service we can possible to all our clients, to make sure that they keep coming back to us, you know.
So you said it depends on demand. And how have you seen demand in the past 2-3 years? And do you see the trend continuing, I suppose?
Based on, so in our information memorandum, we actually got an independent research done. They're projecting education, the market to grow about 10% a year.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, based on our numbers, we've actually grown more than 10%. We still think that what we are doing, there's still demand. Really, where we just need to sort of increase it is really just to create awareness and marketing. And that's really what we're trying to do.
Yeah. But you're also trying to enter into an increasingly crowded digital space when it comes to the internet, kind of facilitating online training services as well. So how are you going to maintain your growth rates in this when faced with these kinds of challenges?
I think I'm very bullish on e-learning platforms, especially going online. And that seems to be another segment or another format that we can actually do. So one of the most difficult things about, say, the education business is actually coming up with your own proprietary content, which is what we've done over the last, you know, using our experience over the last 40 years. And most importantly, a system that works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happening is that we're seeing a format change from, so there's still demand for face-to-face.
Yep.
But we're seeing also there's new growing demand for in the digital space. So one of the plans that we plan to do, at least our targets by the end of this year, is to get some form of upgrading the format of our current training and put it online.
Okay. Now, just taking a look at your corporate clients, Bursa is one of those key clients. But I've also noticed that your trade receivables turnover has increased significantly between 2017 and 2018. It went from 15 days to 101. Is increasing the corporate training segment of your revenue the reason for this increase in your turnover rate?
Okay, so I think that's a very good question. So I'll speak about how our receivables work in mm-hmm. our business. So one of the things that for the retail segment, for example, when someone comes and sign up for the course,
yeah.
So our introductory course at the moment costs $3,995. Yeah. What happens is that a lot of the retail customers also ask, you know, do you have a payment plan? So one of the things that we allow and make ease of use for our students is actually they get to pay over a period of 12 months, because
mm-hmm.
that's when the course is also delivered over a period of 12 months, over you know, plus the software and everything else. So when our retail segment grows, our receivables will also grow. So one of the things that we're trying to actually improve on that number is to actually sign up for more credit card terminals
mm-hmm.
With multiple banks with different credit cards. So that will actually improve some of our cash flow situation. For the corporate side, I think for last year it was a bit more timing more than anything, because we did a lot of events at the end of the year. But a lot of the corporate receivables have, we've collected a lot of that money already. So, yeah.
You've collected how much of that money? I'm sorry?
I don't have the exact number for you today, but it will come out well, after our 6 months, you'll see that our receivables for the previous year would have been collected.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think as of the publication of your numbers, you've collected 30% of the trade receivables outstanding as of June of last year. So where would you think you are now?
I've got to come back to you on that number. I don't have the exact number with me. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the other thing is that also with Equities Tracker, you've had a somewhat volatile balance sheet over the past couple of years. You've recorded loss, profit, loss. So it's not the most stable of records. Why is this?
So one of the things in our business, because unlike a manufacturing business where if we buy land, build a factory, increase our capacity, our sales will go up. Mm. But all that cost or expense to increase capacity can actually be parked as an asset.
Mm-hmm.
For us, when we hire more people, for example, that is our production. That is our increasing of capacity. So the moment we get more guys on board to join the team, naturally our expenses will go up. And therefore our profit numbers will go down. So when we expand, what happens is typically the bottom number, the profit number, mm-hmm. would shrink because we're not going to get immediate, sales generated just by hiring more guys on an immediate term, right? So that takes time. So because all our software that we write or the guys that we hire, it's not capitalized in a sense. So it gets written straight out. So that's why it looks like, we make profits and losses.
Okay. So how would you assure investors then, looking at your track record, that you are a company that is a viable investment?
Outside of numbers, we have been in business for over 40 years now. We are definitely here to stay. Part of the listing of being public, we hope gives the confidence that we are here for the long term.
So obviously you've only just listed 2 months ago, but are you planning to move up to the ACE market or the main market at any point?
Yeah, definitely. That is definitely in the pipeline. We don't have a hard timeline for that now, but yeah, that's definitely the goal to graduate, I would say, from the lead market.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for speaking to us. That was Alvin Vong, CEO of Equities Tracker. And we'll be right back with more stories after this. I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with faster speeds every day. Baru la bes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.